Hi, everybody. This is Laurie Handlers, and you're tuned in to Tantra Cafe, my program for spiritual enlightenment. And you're listening to BBSRadio.com. And today, before I introduce my guest, I want to speak about a subject that you have heard me speak about many times before. I've told you on any number of occasions in my course, in my purpose to demystify Tantra, that there are many people who think that Tantra is just tantric sex. There are people who come to Tantra and they're interested because they feel that, you know, they're going to get some new kink or something. You know, it's kind of my bandwagon to demystify these things. And I've told you that Tantra is so much more. It's a vast, vast subject. It's a database of knowledge. It's a science as well as a spiritual practice. Some people even feel it's a religion, although I don't really practice it as a religion. I practice it as really my whole way of life. Anyway, I have told you before that there are some teachers who have integrity about Tantra, and there are some who do not, and there are practitioners of Tantra who have integrity. And what I mean by integrity
Hello?
Is... Hello? What I mean by integrity is teachers who have a huge knowledge of Tantra, not just to focus on sexual aspects or just on the G-spot. And my guest today is just one of these teachers. She is an amazing person and very well knowledged in Tantra, and you will hear more just as soon as I bring her on. So let me tell you a little bit about her. Her name is Mahasattva Ma Anand Sarita, and we're going to call her Sarita today for just our own purposes, but she has a long name given to her by Osho long ago. She has a PhD in Tantra and Human Sexuality from the University of Integrated Science in California. She's authored two books on Tantra, Tantric Love and Divine Sexuality, and she's the founder and co-director of the School of Awakening in the UK, which offers 7 levels of Tantra training for couples and several Tantra courses for singles and Tantra meditation retreats. Sarita studied with Osho she was in India from 1973 on, and she was searching. We'll hear more about that from her as I ask her my questions, like how come she went to India, etc. But just for now, you should know that she teaches in England, France, Lithuania, Norway, Sweden, and in India. So I'm going to bring her on, and we're going to find out more about her. So Rita, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. I'm so glad to have you on the show. I know that you're in the middle of teaching a couples course right now and that you're just taking a break to get on the air with us. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. As it happens, the couples are in their bedroom right now practicing a very beautiful tantric meditation, which is practiced during sexual union. And so they're doing their home play. You could call it homework, but it's home play.
Home play, yes.
And so while they're engaged in that, then I'm here with you.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for taking the time. Yeah. So I want to ask you, let's see, you say that you went to India in 1973 in search of the essence of life. And how did you happen upon
Yes.
Osho?
Well, that looked like it was by chance, but I'm sure that I was guided to go there. I was traveling through India, and I was doing some Vipassana meditation retreats. And I arrived at a hotel in Bombay, and there was a man with his wife who was in the hotel, and he said, I have somebody that I think you should meet. I'm going to see them tonight, and you come with me. So I went, And there was Osho, and he was actually giving a talk on the Vigyan Bhairav Tantra. And he gave a whole series of talks on the sutras of Shiva. There's 112 different methods of meditation coming from that scripture, which is the Vigyan Bhairav Tantra. So he was commenting on one of those sutras that evening that I first met him. He gave an hour and a half talk, and I remember this sutra to this day, and it's very, very potent, because it says, I'm just trying to remember exactly the words of it. It's at the start of sexual union, keep attentive on the fire in the beginning, and so continuing, avoid the embers in the end. That meeting and that sutra and Osho's commentary on came a completely radical turnaround in my life. And basically, from the moment I met Osho, I entered the tantric path, and I've been on it ever since. I've practiced many tantra meditations alone, also in the couple, and it's completely transformed my life. And basically, I got so full of that incredible divine ecstasy and nectar that I started sharing that. And it took me about 15 years of working very intensively on myself before I started teaching. And then once I started teaching, I never stopped.
When did you start teaching? You've been teaching since the 90s?
Yeah, I started teaching in 1990. And at first I was teaching holistic healing because that was a subject that really interested me for my own personal reasons. And gradually my tantra practice that I'd been doing on myself came into that work, and finally the tantra took over. Because I found out that a lot of issues that people carry in terms of physical or psychological health are rooted in problems around relating or sexuality, around how to find themselves, and Tantra addresses all of these issues.
That's beautiful.
So Tantra is a really wonderful path. You know, it is a path that can help people in terms of healing all kind of issues that they carry, whether it's around sexual abuse or whether it's around sexual dysfunctions or whether it's around problems with coming to peace within themselves, issues around meditation or personal development. All of these can be addressed through tantra meditations.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm so happy that you're saying this, and especially that you've mentioned that you also practiced alone and have practiced as a couple. So, I mean, I a lot of people say, you know, I can't come to your tantra class because I'm not in a couple. And I say, you should come to my class anyway. Yeah, I know.
I think the work is a bit different for couples or for single people. That's why in my work I have one training that's for couples, and then there's another several different courses for singles. And, of course, couples can come into the singles groups if they like, but the singles energy tends to be more, I would say, more wild. And the couples energy is more about intimacy and rising in love. And so I like to nourish the singles and also nourish the couples.
Well, it's nice. It's a great idea to have them separate. In my courses, I have them all together, but I have talked to some other teachers, not that many. I mean, but I have talked to a few teachers that do, that kind of do it like you. They kind of separate the groups. And I love what you said about nourishing the love, and the other people about letting their energy be wild and nourishing that too.
And opening up.
Did you, let me ask you some questions about Osho. In Osho, were you at the ashram in India, or were you pretty much at the ranch, or were you at both, the ranch in Oregon?
I was at both, because I came to Osho in 1973, and then, I stayed in his community till almost like 1999. So I was there for many, many years, and I saw it all, basically.
Yeah. So you, and did you learn these techniques from pretty much from him or from other instructors there? Because I know he had some other people working there, instructing.
I learned from him. Mm. And in the beginning, when I first came to him, he used to see people privately. And so he used to give me some meditation to practice. And then I would go off and practice it, and then I would come back, and then he would give comments, and then another meditation to practice. So I did many different meditation practices in that way, with direct feedback with him. And then when I was 17 and 18. Then when I was 19, I got married, and he blessed my marriage, and then he started supporting my husband and I to practice Tantra methods. And he guided us through many, many different practices, which were quite revolutionary on all levels. And so that became the foundation for my research into Tantra. And I just went deeper and deeper. And for many years, I was really only concerned about healing myself, opening up, because as a child I had been sexually abused, so I came to him in a state that wasn't really whole or blissful, I would say. I was quite screwed up, and so I needed a lot of personal healing, and through doing different meditation practices I did find that personal healing. And I found inner ecstasy, and I found samadhi, and I found many wonderful states of consciousness and being. And I was really only concerned with my own journey for quite some years. But then I found out, when I started sharing, that I seemed to have an endless resource available, which I wasn't even aware of in those early years. I didn't know that in the future I would become a Tantra teacher or anything like that. I was just concerned with my own path, my own journey, my own healing. And the more I teach, the more resources I find. And of course, that did come from sitting with Osho for many, many years, listening to his discourses, which were so rich in their teaching potential.
Well, it's a beautiful unfolding story that you share. I mean, being 18, 19, 20, going through all this concern for your personal well-being and your personal affairs, and then finding out by surprise that you have this amazing talent and gift for sharing this knowledge now, for sharing the depth of it that you've been practicing for so long. It's amazing. And, you know, since I've had the opportunity to meet you, you know, I can say nobody could tell that you started out, you know, abused and, you know, kind of flailing, trying to find yourself. I mean, you have a power and a clarity and a grace that, you know, that's a wonderful experience for people to experience, you know. And that was, I had only a short time with you. We were on that panel somewhere in England, I think in Dartmouth, and you know, I could get your grace emanating from the years of practice that you've been doing. So it's so thank you for doing it. Thank you for bringing your unique gifts to the planet.
I think it's very helpful that I passed through such intense suffering in my life, because when people come to me, no matter what they're carrying, it doesn't faze me. You know, I can work with it. Mm-hmm. because yeah. often people come who are carrying some kind of suffering or other. And then because I've been there and I've worked through it, I'm able to hold them in that space, and that's fine. And that's one of the precepts of mine, that you can enter the Tantra path from wherever you are. You don't have to be different than you are. Whoever and however you are is fine, because all we're going to do in Tantra is to bring love and awareness to who you are, and to draw out your inner potential that's just longing to burst forth like a flower in the morning sun. So we bring the light of Tantra into the darkness, and then everything happens that needs to happen.
Yeah, that's so true. That's beautiful. Just beautiful. Well, listen, we're going to take a short break. We're going to take a station break for a commercial, and then we'll be right back. So in case you just tuned in, any of the listeners, I want you to know that I'm interviewing Mahasattva Ma Anand Sarita, who is pretty much based in the UK in the School of Awakening, which offers 7 level of Tantra trainings for couples and several Tantra courses for singles. And I ask you to stay tuned with us. We'll be right back, because we're going to talk about how Tantra can really heal the world. So stay tuned. This is Laurie Handlers. We'll be right back. Well, we're back, and thanks for staying tuned to Tantra Cafe. This is Laurie Handlers, your host, and my guest today is Sarita, who is a famous Tantra teacher, pretty much based in the UK, but she teaches all over Europe and also teaches in India. And we were discussing her time, 26 years, with the Osho community, both when Osho was alive in the body, and after he left the body, she stayed on for another 9 years, starting with her own personal path of suffering and trying to find herself, and then blossoming into a beautiful goddess who is an amazing Tantra teacher. So, Sarita, let me ask you, I know you have tremendous interest in it, in the idea of Tantra transforming the world from the individual to the couple to the family to the society. Please tell us about that, because that's so important for people to hear.
Yes, I'm one of those people who wants to save the world. You know those kind of people that are always trying to find out how they can do that. It's been my passion since I was a child. And I would look around and I would say, it's not possible that this is the way the world is meant to be. People are meant to be happy and to celebrate life. I just knew it inside. And actually, I had a theory when I was 9 years old. I developed this theory that when people get to be about 16, they go to sleep, and then they're not aware anymore of the beauty around them. And I determined, I'm not going to go to sleep. I'm going to stay awake, and I'm going to find the path how to pierce through that sleepiness and to find reality. And so I did. I met Osho when I was 17, and so I managed to stay awake. And what I found out is it is possible to call people back from that, what we could call spiritual sleep, that comes over us as we come out of childhood into adulthood with all the responsibilities, and then we find ourselves going into a mold that's been created by our conditioning and so on, and it's almost like an armor around us. And many times we long to break that armor and to find our true selves, but we don't know how. And basically, over thousands of years, Tantra has developed very potent methods of meditation. And Tantra is something you can't learn really by just reading about it or hearing about it. It's really necessary to practice the techniques. Those techniques have been developed by enlightened beings who had tremendous insight into life and how people can flower as individuals, and how that in turn helps the family, the couple, the society. So when we practice the techniques, we start shifting inside, we start remembering who we're meant to be. And I do call Tantra a process of remembering, reconnecting. It's not about finding something new outside of yourself. It's really about coming back home and discovering who you already are. Many times when people come to Tantra groups, they say, ah, but I already knew this deep down, but I didn't know how to find it, or I didn't know it was really possible. I just dreamed about it. As they start reconnecting, something comes out, it bursts out from inside of them. And I'm reminded of a very beautiful story which Osho used to tell about a mother lioness who was pregnant, and she was jumping over a ravine. And as she was jumping over the ravine, she gave birth to a little lion, and the lion fell down in the ravine and was adopted by a herd of sheep. And that little lion grew up thinking that he's a sheep, and he used to follow the sheep around. He was always in the herd, and he was always trying to make sheep sounds, bah, bah. He was even eating grass. And then one day an old lion came into that herd of sheep, and the old lion saw. He was thinking to get his breakfast, and he saw that there's that lion in among the sheep. At first he thought that's a competitor who also wants to get a sheep for his breakfast. Then he realized, my God, that lion thinks he's a sheep. He started laughing, and he just went and he caught hold of that young lion, and he said, come with me. And the young lion was crying like a sheep and saying, don't eat me, please, spare my life, bah, bah. And the old lion said, shut up, come with me. And he dragged him all the way to the river. And there was a pool, a silent pool of water in that river. And he dragged the young lion and made him look into that water. And the young lion looked, and he suddenly realized, ah, that's a lion. I'm a lion. And he let out a huge lion's roar. And that was his homecoming. He remembered who he was. He remembered his original nature. And this is how Tantra functions. It is like that old lion dragging you to your original nature to realize who you really are. And as that happens, the passion for life just surges out, and the joy for life, the vibrancy, and ultimately the genius also surges forth. And this happens in the individual as people do individual or singles tantra, as we call it, and it also happens in the...
I think we lost her. Are you still there?
Hello? Hello?
I need you to start, you just to finish that sentence. You said it's
okay.
Happens in the individual, and it also happens in the, and boom, we got cut off.
Okay. And it also happens in the couple, like lovers who practice Tantra together. They go on a very intimate journey, and in the couple, the partner functions as a kind of mirror. You see yourself in the mirror. You see your projections. And you also see your beauty, your grandeur. You see that you are a god or a goddess mirrored in the other. And as that happens, it awakens the god and goddess within. And you start resonating or living that in your daily life. So both the work individually and in the couple is very, very powerful and potent as a way of helping people to come back into a remembrance of who they really are. And of course, our society is not made of a crowd, it's made of individuals. And the couple is also made of individuals. So the basic work starts with me. Can I love myself enough? And then as we love ourselves enough, we might be able to share that with others. We share it as an overflowing of all that we are. And that goes into relationships. And then we find out, well, if I can be so present and so full and so much in a state of remembrance of my bliss alone and the couple, I can also share that with my family. And people start sharing it in their family and in their work. And in that way, it starts spreading into the society. And I envision that as enough people wake up to who they're meant to be, to their inner ecstasy, to their joy, that our whole society can be in that state, that dancing aliveness. And I'd like to point out something which looks like maybe a little bit mundane, but probably many people are aware that in many big cities in the world, there are these very tall pillars, which are basically phallic symbols. You know, they have these very tall conical pillars that are pointed on top. And if you compare that to India, where all over the place you find Shiva Linga. Shiva Linga means pillar of light. But that pillar of light, which is a phallic symbol, is contained in a very beautiful yoni or vulva. It's sculpted, and that sits in different kind of Shiva temples, and also you find them in the countryside. This is giving a message that godliness is both male and female in union. And our society needs to learn that, because if we only have these conical pillars, which are the phallic symbol, the message that we're giving out is that testosterone and the qualities of testosterone rule the world. Now, the qualities of testosterone are dominance, competition, single-pointedness, strength, muscle mass, the deep voice, the hairiness. They're all masculine qualities. If we have only masculine qualities ruling the world, we don't have a very balanced society. So what we need to do around every one of those pillars, we need to put a beautiful feminine yoni. Yoni means sacred place, and that's the word that's used in Tantra to describe the female genitals. So if we're going to have those phallic symbols standing all over the place, we should have an encompassing yoni, and that automatically will bring a sense of balance. That also needs to come into our workplace, that women can find their true calling, their true power as a woman, which is the way of yin, the way of the heart, and bring that into business, into the workplace. Instead of trying to copy men or be like men, women can come into their power. And men, likewise, can be flowering in their beautiful and wonderful godlike nature. And when we bring these two opposite polarities together, that is where the Tantra experience really lies. You find a magical alchemy that happens when you bring opposites together. It's the Tantra alchemy. And that particular alchemy is the magic that makes life blissful, ecstatic, wonderful. And we need to spread this quality as much as possible in the world. And this will change the nature of governments. It will change the nature of business. It will change the nature of the family. But it always starts with the individual, and then it spreads to the couple. And from there, it moves into all different aspects of life. In England...
Sreeta, I'm just going to stop you for one second, because I'm so excited about what you're saying, because I always tell people that it's very political, even though they feel that it's coming to them very spiritually. What you're talking about, the transformation of the world this way, is an amazing insight, and it's so powerful. And I don't think people necessarily understand it when they come to Tantra, nor do I think they have to understand it, but I think it's phenomenal that that's the vision that you're holding for your work and for the work that people do with you and the work that people do, the other work that people do, other tantrikas. I mean, it's very, very political. It can transform the world. I do want to talk to you. I want to ask you more about it in based on what you were just going to say about England and also how you propose for us to go around putting these yonis around all of these women. We need to take a little break on that note. We need to take another break. But when we come back, I want to hear the rest of what you were going to say about it, and then let's look to see how we can invent the project. I mean, if there's a man, there's an artist who goes around and makes balloons and tents and canvases around barrier reefs. I mean, you know, there's an artist that does that in the world. He goes on a boat and puts these things all around different natural structures. There must be a way that we can put yonis around all of these linga. So give us a moment. We're going to come right back. If you've just tuned in, you are listening to Laurie Handler's on Tantra Cafe with Sarita. And you can find out more about her if you go to schoolofawakening.com. We're going to be right back after this short break. Please stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody. You are still listening to Tantra Cafe at bbsradio.com. And the music that you just heard, I played specially for my guest, Sarita, because it's music that came right from the Osho Ashram. It's used in Osho's No Dimension meditation, and it's from the Osho No Dimension CD. It's the piece called Whirling by Shastro and Cirrus. And many of you know that Cirrus has been my guest on this show, and you've heard some other music by him. He's a very dear friend of mine who lives in Goa in India. And I just wanted to play some Osho meditation for you, Sarita, so that people could sample it in the music this evening.
And that's so lovely. Thank you.
Thank you, yes. And I imagine you knew them. I don't know if you knew Shastro and Cirrus.
Yes.
Yeah. So Cirrus and I are in touch a lot, and I did an interview with him about how he came upon Osho as well and how he started living a tantric lifestyle and ended up staying in India.
Yeah, so, Cirrus, he's a wonderful person.
Yeah, he very much is. I'm so lucky to have him in my life. So we're coming back now to this whole notion of the politics. Now, you started to say something about in England. I caught you off because I knew we had to go on break. So tell me a little bit about where you were going with the thought.
Yes. I'd just like to say one thing to start with is that I remember a long time ago I heard Osho saying that Tantra is the way of the future. And because now no more dual attitudes can hold man's mind. And then I heard him say that the tree of Tantra will grow in England and flower in America. And I see this tree growing in England. When he gave that statement, I never guessed in a million years that I would be instrumental in that tree growing in England. But it is happening. Because when I came to England, people were carrying this kind of misconception that Tantra is just about sex and all of that, and they didn't realize that it has a much vaster potential. Yes, it includes sex, and it also includes everything else that we are, heart and spirit and everything. So I determined that I'm going to bring this message to people, and that they're finally going to understand that Tantra is everything that we are, not just sex. And this is really happening in England because I've been teaching now for about 10 or 11 years in England. And all over the place, there's people who get together and they practice tantric meditation, and there's tantra houses where people are all into tantra and living in the same house, and there's tantra events, there's tantra festivals, there's tantra groups, and there's many, many tantra teachers, many of who have worked with me. And it's really shifting the whole, I would say, collective idea about what Tantra is. And this is wonderful to see. And I've also noticed that there's been a change in the collective readiness to dive into ecstatic processes and Tantra meditations. It seems like people are coming into the groups already on a more expanded level than what they used to be 10 years ago.
Yeah.
A lot is shifting. And the fact that this is happening tells me that it's not long before it spills over into the mainstream and starts creating that ecstatic potential in the mainstream as well. And I'm really working for that to happen. I really want that to happen. And I know that it can happen.
It can happen. This is so exciting. I mean, this is really what you're saying. Listen, it's been my experience as well when I've been over in England that the opening that people are when they show up at things, at gatherings that I'm at, which are with some of your students. I mean, the whole Tantra Link in mm-hmm. England started out of Kavita and Andrew, and they are your students. And Kavita's been on this show before. I mean, the show with her was so sweet. I got emails about it from people who were listening, saying that whole pieces of their life came together just in the listening to the show with Kavita.
Yeah.
So yes, 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 yes.
Yes, Kavita is one of my best friends. She has been a student of mine, and she's also she's still doing some apprenticeship with me as well. But she's already completely flowering as a tantra teacher and an author, and it's just fantastic.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm really delighted when I see people flowering like this. It just touches me so much.
Well,
I adore it.
You've touched them so much, so it's only natural when they finally wake up and then they're growing the work exponentially. Without it's not just one and two anymore. It's all these people connecting, just like you're saying. When it grows exponentially, yes, it's having this profound and potent effect on the planet, which I'm so thrilled about. Yeah. That's how I feel about this show. You know, that it's touching people in ways that I don't even know when they write to me from like South Africa or Australia or, you know, somewhere that I haven't been, but they heard the show.
I think it's so brilliant that you're doing this show. It was absolutely needed. And when Kavita told me about it, I was absolutely delighted. You're the right person to do it.
Thank you. I love it. I just love it. I love the show. So thank you, and thanks for agreeing to be my guest.
I wanted to read you a very beautiful tantric poem. It actually comes from a tantra scripture, from a Sanskrit scripture originally, Karpatri. And the quote is, "Universal energy, the substance of the world, is represented by the yoni which grasps the lingam. It is only when the phallus, the giver of semen, is surrounded by the yoni that God can manifest and the universe appear."
I just got chills listening to that. That is so beautiful. Thank you so much for bringing that. We're moving into our last moments together on this show, and I want to tell people again how to get in touch with you, and then I want to just have our little challenge of how we're going to put yonis around all these lingams. I want to come back to that. So This is Laurie Handler on Tantra Cafe on bbsradio.com. I'm just winding down with my amazing guest, Sarita, who is a Tantra master in England and teaches throughout Europe and in India and has been practicing for many, many years, who is really, really touching on the love of my life, which is affecting the whole planet, the transformation. You know, I call Tantra transformation through pleasure, and that's how I tell people about it, that they're going to breed anyway, so they might as well do the practices.
This is fantastic teaching that you're giving.
Yeah, it's like you're going to do it. Breath is going to breathe you, so you might as well do the practices and make yourself happy. And as you make yourself happy, you start adding joy to the planet, because if you're adding suffering to the planet, I mean, there's enough of that. You know, there's a way that we can bring our own joy, our own self-love, our own appreciation for everything, and that's Tantra. It really is Tantra, everything you've been saying today. So so what can we do? If people live in a city, like I used to, I don't anymore, but I used to live in Washington, D.C., which has many, many pillars and columns. So what can people do? Like on May Day or something, they can run around placing wreaths, circles of flowers, and or circles or necklaces or what have you, round things around all these columns.
Yes, exactly. I was already thinking that either an artist can design a beautiful yoni around it using art materials. You know how they do street drawings and things. That's a possibility.
Yes.
Or, flower wreaths or even leaves made into a wreath or even just using string. Why not? Or rope or anything that will create a design that shows that's a feminine circle or a feminine yoni. And that message needs to get out that we need balance in our society, equal balance between the feminine and the masculine. And the only issue with that is that a lot of people are not really aware what is it to be a man and what is it to be a woman and what is the feminine power, because what we've had happen is that there's the women's liberation and women have tried to copy men rather than find out what is the power of being a woman. They've tried to become like men, and the men have found out that being macho doesn't really work. So then they don't know anymore, well, what is it to be a real man? So this is a very important aspect that Tantra can offer, is to help people to reclaim their true nature within the feminine body or within the masculine body. And of course, if you are really into the masculine and really into the feminine, that creates a very powerful magnetic attraction. And then we have electricity when those two come together.
Yeah.
More electricity.
Well, you know, we're going to have to do a whole show on that. I think we're going to have to do another show where we talk just about that, because there's so much more. Yeah, so would you be available? I mean, we can talk about it, but would you be agreeable to coming on again, to the show again?
Oh, yeah, I love to talk, as you can tell. And I love to talk about, I adore talking about Tantra. I never get tired of it.
Wonderful. Well,
you know, I thought it could be nice. Should I end with one short poem about the blissful body?
Sure.
This is from Tantra scripture, Saraha Doha, and the poem is, here in this body are the sacred rivers, here are the sun and moon, as well as all the pilgrimage places. I have not encountered another temple as blissful as my own body.
Thank you so much. Thank you. So we're going to be ending here, everybody. Sarita, thank you so much for coming on. If people want to find out more about Sarita, please go to schoolofawakening.com. and you will find out more. I will have her on my show again, I promise, in the very near future. And I just want to sign off by saying namaste from Tantra Cafe.
Namaste.
Namaste, Sarita.